2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
So excited to be joined by Utah State head coach Blake Anderson. And Coach Anderson, I know you've put a lot of these camps behind you as a player and as a coach. Does it go slow? Is this one going slower? Is it going faster than usual or about the same? Do some go faster and slower for you?
I think you look back, you're like where it went, but when you're in the middle of it, there's nothing slow about or there's nothing fast about camp. It's just a grind. We're 8-9 days in. We started earlier than most because of the early start with UConn coming in week zero, which somebody's still going to have to explain to me what week zero is. But I think you look up, you get midweek, mid-season 4 or 5 weeks into the season, you look like, wow, where did it go? But in the middle of the grind of fall camp, I think it's just a daily discipline to, like, we're going to get through this. And obviously, you know that as a player, and a lot easier to say it went fast in hindsight than it is when you're in the middle of it.
Yeah, I'll join you and die on this hill if you want to. Let's get rid of this game zero crap, this week zero.
It's week one for us.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
We got a matchup with everybody else in the country, but it's still our first game, so we're focused on it. We got 3 weeks out. We need every bit of the 3 weeks to get ready. And today was a, the Monday after scrimmage day, we were light on Sunday, just kind of brushed them up. And then the Monday after scrimmage day, you're a weekend, the body hurts everywhere from head to toe. It was a grind today, and the guys did good.
Well, I'm really excited to see some of the things that were coming out of this scrimmage that went down on Saturday. I know that you guys went inside because of some weather issues, but I could go through some things with Cooper Legault, and we'll get into Logan Bonner and some of that. But I want to start with this, Coach. Between Daniel Zurcyak and Byron Vaughns, they wrapped up, what, eight or nine
yeah.
sacks between the two of them in the scrimmage?
They got to the quarterback. For them, great. Obviously, we need them to play at that level. And they are very similar in how they play. We were concerned graduating Nick Henniker. There's no doubt that he brought a ton of energy to our team a year ago and made play after play. We felt like that we weren't quite ready on the roster with a developmental guy. There's just too big of a gap between what he could bring to the table and what some of the young guys could. So we went out and recruited Daniel Grzyczak from he was a Nevada transfer. Their staff had changed and left to go to Colorado State, and he just wasn't sure that's where he wanted to be. And he just fit us really, really well. He's got a lot of the same traits that we loved in Nick in terms of his speed off the edge, his energy level every day, his desire to rush the passer. So you put him and Byron on the edges, and if when they're healthy and going, it is a true challenge. And they had a great day Saturday, which tells you that our tackles struggled because they got to the quarterback way too much. I think you're right, 8, 9, 10 times out of 120 snaps. And that's a lot of snaps, but man, they did a phenomenal job, and they set the tempo of our defense. I mean, they speed the clock up for any quarterback we're going to play, and they bring energy to practice every day. Daniel's been a great addition, and Byron is. His role is just getting bigger and bigger every day.
I played that DN position for a year with BYU and then played the D-tackle position for 3 years. And I know in order to get a sack off the edge, you got to have a push in the middle. And you must have been getting a push from Hale Matuapuaka as well. Somebody's getting a push in the middle.
We definitely are. He and Kessie are doing a great job inside. Phil and some of the other guys. We're getting a lot of rotational players in there. We're throwing a lot of bodies at the problem, but you mentioned Hale. He was a huge factor a year ago. We don't win 11 games without Hale and Marcus doing a great job in the interior. So you're right. If the quarterback just step up and escape, it doesn't work. But when we're getting collective push across the the front, and we are, I thought the defense played really well across the board. They had struggled a few days earlier in a competitive drill. The offense had kind of had their way with them. And they responded and had a phenomenal day. It was a little offensive early. The first kind of 25, 30 plays of the things just seemed like the offense was going to have another one of those days. And we went to a break. We came back out. And from that point to the end, really the defense set the tempo for everything from that point on and played lights out and did a phenomenal job on third down and getting the offense off the field. So we got good work. And, head coach never leaves a scrimmage when you're playing yourself in a great frame of mind. You're worried about one side or the other, and luckily I feel good about our offense because we got so many guys coming back that I didn't want to panic. But our defense really, really handed it to them.
Yeah, that means more to me than if I saw Logan Bonner was out there throwing for 680 yards and nobody touched him, because I think. We don't have a ton of questions on Logan Bonner's ability, but you got questions on some one-on-one pass rushing off the defensive side that really can make the difference for this team. So, to me, it's nice to see some of those numbers coming out of camp. And I did see that Logan Bonner was in action, 5 of 10. You had 10 attempts out of Logan for 73 yards. Are you really limiting Logan at this point in camp, Coach?
Yeah, we're being smart with him. He's still only in that 7 to 8 month kind of recovery. If he was playing another position, we would probably even have to limit him more. But with the brace on and just how well he's done in his rehab, he's doing very, very well. I mean, his first day out, he was like 12 of 12, 4 touchdowns. And so you felt like he was comfortable in the pocket. He's throwing the ball well. When we held up the other day, he put the ball where it needed to go. He's not making that young – kind of careless mistake. He's protected the ball extremely well. I'm not sure he's even had a turnover through fall camp at this point, which is huge. He's checking the ball down, throwing it away. I mean, we're not ready to just take off and let him run, and we are limiting his reps. But at the rate he's going without some type of setback, we feel really, really comfortable that he's ready to take the first snap and really play full speed come UConn in 3 weeks. That's saying a lot considering when he got hurt and just how hard he's worked in the offseason.
Is number two really well nailed down with Cooper Legault, or is that you're still allowing that to go back and forth?
Well, they're both getting reps, but just to be honest, I mean, Cooper's done everything we expect him to do. I will say this, Levi is doing a phenomenal job at growing in the offense. But Cooper showed us what he could do in the bowl game. He's done nothing at this point really to change our thought process of his ability to go out and run the offense. I do think Levi brings value to our team, and we're going to find some different ways to be creative with him. He's just such a great athlete. And, I know it's fast forward to January, but watching Cooper and Levi and Bishop and chasing those guys battle it out in the spring is going to be super fun to watch. It's a really, really good room, and they're all getting better every day. And I think they all learn from watching Logan. I mean, he's just a seasoned veteran that is a great example for what to do and how to control the offense. So pretty fortunate in that room. If Logan went down tomorrow for some reason, right now Cooper would be the guy to go, and Levi would be, I think, right there pushing him every step.
About 19 days left, as you mentioned, to kick off against UConn. Where you're at in camp now with some really good time under your belt, what areas are you seeing, Coach, that you really do need to work on as a staff and in those specific position groups? What areas are you seeing that you've got a lot of work or some real work that you need to get done?
Yeah, I mean, we still got to solidify the old line. We lost some guys there that played significant snaps, and clearly our defensive line is testing them every day. We need to stabilize that and get some days on top of days under our belt there where we can communicate and handle movement and be more consistent. That is a position we knew going in, kind of with what we graduated and what we have coming back, that we knew was going to be a little bit of concern. But I'd say, you know, having 19 days is important to us there. Feel pretty good offensively. Otherwise, the wideout group has settled in pretty well. And considering how much productivity we graduated, it won't look quite the same, but it has still been really effective. And we've got guys that have stepped in and have stepping up. You know, McGriff's doing a phenomenal job stepping up and really elevating his game. But Van Leeuwen and Nana Davis and Brad Cobb and Terrell Vaughn, and, I mean, that group, Xavier Williams, had a really big day. So I think we're getting it there. So, you know, offensively, just stabilizing the O-line is huge. I think for us defensively, just the more that we work together. I mean, you're missing Justin Rice, Marcus Moore, Nick Henniger, and in the back end, you're missing Shaq Bond. Those were four really key vocal leaders. Athletically, we look really, really good over there, but leadership on that side and kind of communication, I think the next few weeks, just seeing that grow, because they're willing to run and we're athletic. Now, you know as well as I, that defense, they all got to be on the same page. I think we're seeing that daily. You know, Gervin Hall's been a great addition. MJ Tafisi, we mentioned Daniel Grisak's been a huge addition up front. I think just gelling that group together and just learning how to fit off each other and tackle in space, every one of those 19 days is going to be big for us.
I know you've been doing this thing for quite some time. I know that you've been coaching even before the transfer portal was a thing. And, Coach, I know when you came here to Utah State, you brought a lot of different players with you, and it was kind of that initial push at the one-time transfer, and I think we're going to see probably things expand to an any-time transfer, and it seems to be getting crazier and crazier. But how much has that changed the way you conduct business or can conduct business as a head coach? Having to integrate kids from, you know, maybe 7, 8, maybe even 10 different universities into the position group rooms, how tough is it to bring those transfers in, stir up position groups, and stir up those rooms, maybe hear some complaining and whining, or maybe, you know, having to deal with some prima donna attitude? How much has this changed what you're having to do as a coach?
You know, I would tell you that I tried not to let it impact how we do what we do in terms of environment and culture. We want to bring guys in that are going to fit that culture and understand what to expect when they get here. Now, we've always been really honest with the guys on the roster. We're going to try to out-recruit you every day. We're going to try to elevate the ability in the room every day. I think the difference is, in the past, most times, more times than not, that addition to the room was typically a younger guy. I mean, that was the, unless you went out and took a junior college player, you weren't bringing in 10 to 12 to 15 veteran, older, free agency type guys. That's been the biggest adjustment. And I think what we've been able to do, we've been able to identify guys, or clearly we did a year ago, guys that fit how we wanted to do things, fit the environment, culture that we're trying to create. So we didn't have those big ego issues. We tried very hard to bring in guys that understood, you know, this is a no ego type building. And then I think we've made them come in and earn their way on the field. They didn't just walk in and step into the first huddle. They came in knowing that we're not guaranteeing you a spot. You've literally got to earn it. And once they do earn it, they've earned the respect of the guys as well. I mean, they came in and fought, they battled, they won the job. I think it helps a lot that you go out and win 11 games using that model. Had we gone out and really not won games and not been successful, we may be having a different conversation. But I think they respect the fact that we made the guys come in and earn every rep that they got. And I also believe they see on film and on the field, look, these guys make us better. We try to treat everybody the same. Expect the most from the best player in the room. I mean, we want to push the best player in the room the hardest. We want to expect the most from him as a staff. And really, they should expect the same thing. So It's a delicate balance, but it's the world we live in, and we got to be good in it, or we're going to get beat by it every week.
Man, isn't that the truth? It's an ever-evolving world. I try to put it into terms for people that may be CEOs or bosses or just, you know, employees working in some industry, of the amount of change that this transfer portal has thrown into college football and the adjustments that men like you and Kyle Whittingham and Kalani Sitake here in the state, as well as Jay Hill and others, have had to really evolve and figure this whole thing out and adapt. You can't just stomp your feet and say, well, we're not going to deal with it here at Utah State. I mean, you have to really evolve. And, you know, I always worried about, you know, one thing that has really kept me away from coaching, and there's many, but one of the things was recruiting and really having to get into the houses of these young athletes and tell them how great they are. It's tough. And now feels like the coaches have to recruit them every year. And, you know, at the end of the season,
you're having to recruit your roster and you're having to go out and recruit others. We fortunately did not lose, you know, a ton of guys off a roster. I think that speaks a lot to culture and environment, how we treat kids, the success we're having in the building. But you do have to be conscious of building relationships with the guys here where they don't want to leave, where they feel a loyalty to you as a person and as a, yep, not just a coach, but a friend and a father figure and all the above. And then you do have to go fill holes and get on the road and recruit. So it doesn't stop. It's year round. It's 365 at this point. Even when you're on vacation, the phone's buzzing, ringing. Guys are coming on visits all summer long, all through the winter break. It is the hardest part to juggle. If it was just ball and it was just dealing with kids, but that aspect of it, and it's likely to get even crazier. As you mentioned, the rules seem to be pointing in a direction where it's going to be unlimited transfers, and we're dealing with this at a level that nobody has ever really dealt with it before. You know, there's no contracts involved like you have in the NFL. Yes, they have free agency, but the entire roster of every team in the NFL is not free agent every year. It's only a limited number. If it's unlimited transfers, you're literally saying anybody on your team can transfer every year without question. And that is a world that is going to be hard to juggle.
Wow. Yeah, and we'll talk, I'm sure, at length about that later on. I did want to ask you about this event coming up on Saturday. Coach, I know that you love getting involved with the community, and it's the Football Family Fun Day coming up August 13th this Saturday. I think it's at 2 o'clock, and I just wanted to mention that because I want Utah State fans to get out there, embrace this team and everything that Coach Anderson is doing. This is a team, it's made up of great kids, and I've got a couple of kids that I feel like are my kids that I've watched grow up since they were born on that team, and I know what type of young men they are. So I want the Utah State fans to come out and visit. It should be a fun day on Saturday, right, Coach?
Well, hopefully we get better weather than we just got Saturday. It's funny, I hadn't seen rain in forever, and we got lightning and rain and all kind of stuff Saturday, but if any indication of what we should expect, it should be beautiful. We're going to get a good solid scrimmage in. We're out there an hour and a half, 2 hours. As I understand it, they're going to have all kind of stuff for families and kids before. We're going to do autographs and photos and stuff with fans after that on the field. And you mentioned it is a great group of kids. It really is. We're going to be super competitive football-wise this year. We're going to make a run at it again as we did a year ago. But it is a great group of young men that we're really proud of. They're kids that you typically see them with their helmets on. I think it's a great opportunity to see them with their helmet off and get to kind of know their face and maybe get to have a conversation and take some photos with guys that they normally wouldn't get to. So we need fans out in a big number this year. We'd love to have them out Saturday where they can get to know us a little bit better, and we're going to expect great weather and a fun day.
It should happen, Coach. Fingers crossed for you. Good luck to you coming up this Saturday, and congratulations to this point in camp, and cannot wait for about 19 days to see this team kick off.
Appreciate it, Hollis. Take care.
All right. There you go, Coach Blake Anderson, head coach of Utah State.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.